And you've lived now to lead us like a good shepherd, like a champion, into your presence, into the path of life you so desire each one of us to experience. And we thank you for that. May we experience that this night in a fresh way, Jesus. Amen. 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 They say amen? Yeah, please take a seat. Yep. Hey, you're in the woods, and there's a fork in the road, and you have no idea which path to take. You're trying to reach your destination. You happen to see a dead man on one side, and then on the other side, the other path, you've got a ranger in full uniform, alive. This is not too hard of a test. Who are you going to follow? Which path are you going to take? The dead man's path or the ranger? Of course, the ranger. Yes. And you're going to follow him. Jesus Christ was once dead. He's alive forevermore, and he's got the credentials. He's got the uniform. And he's saying, follow me into the path of life. We want to talk tonight about generous living. And the question is why? What is generous living? And to follow him and discover what that's all about. Tonight, you don't have a bulletin. I don't know if you noticed that. And the reason for that, I just found out, is because the stupid copier wouldn't print. So blame it on that, all right? So, but you are going to have a piece of paper and a pen. At least some of you will tonight, because you're going to do some work in a group, all right, in just a second. Talking about generous living, you know, GPS, God is our GPS. He is our guide. He is giving us direction. He's giving us guidance. The Word of God does this. The people, the community of God's people do this. And he wants to help us follow a path that is very narrow, narrowly defined. And few people are on the path, Jesus said. Broad is the path, and many are on this path that leads to destruction. And few are on the path that leads to experiencing life indeed. If you have a Bible, open it up with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to refer to 1 Timothy chapter 6. But before we do, I have some questions. And the question is, what is generous living? Generous living. And why is that so important? What is it? I'm going to begin to answer my own question and have you start thinking about this. Generous living, it's quite different from what we have been used to in our experience. You ever go through a drive-thru and order French fries? You ever see this scene? You've got two kids in the back and you hand one packet of French fries. That's a mistake right there. Never, always get enough for everybody. And so the argument in the back seat is, mine, mine, mine. And remember this? Mine, my precious. That is the way of our life. And Christ Jesus calls us to a different path, a path of generous living. What is it? It's about your heart. It's about your heart. It's not about exactly where you end up physically. It's about the condition of your heart. It's about the orientation of your being. What are you oriented around? We were made to be oriented around God, not self. And when we reorient our life around him, then generous living flows out of us as like a fountain, as an act of worship and service to God. Sweet fragrance to him, generous living. Let me ask you this. What is the difference? If we were to take a trip right now, this is our 747 Boeing. Welcome, please buckle your seatbelts, put the mask over your fat nose, as some of the the attendants say. I don't know if you ever heard them say that. It's, you know, that's kind of offensive. So they say, put that thing over your big fat nose. And then, okay, so we're on the 747. We fly in. We fly into Tel Aviv. We're in Israel, and we're going to take a tour. And we go see, and we visit from the north. We visit the Sea of Galilee, and then we come along the Jordan River, and we come down to the Dead Sea, and then we come back home. Now we're kind of down low. We're going to debrief. We just experienced Israel. Whew, that was a quick trip, wasn't it? What's the difference between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea? Question is, really, why do they call the Dead Sea the Dead Sea? Why is the Dead Sea dead? Say again. There's nothing living in it. Exactly. It's dead. Dead, dead. Nothing living in it. Why is there nothing living in it? It's too salty. Yes, it's too salty. So why is it too salty? Therefore, nothing lives in it there because it's dead. What's that? It's not flowing. What do you mean? Okay, so, all right, so you've got the northern part of Israel from the Mount Hermon range. You've got all these tributaries, all these waters and forming into the Jordan River, and the waters from Mount Hermon flow into the Sea of Galilee. Beautiful sea. And the Sea of Galilee receives all the waters from Mount Hermon range, but then it releases water into the Jordan River. And the Jordan River flows about 100 miles or so down to the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea receives all of this water from the Jordan River, but it never releases any. It doesn't have any outlet. It just receives and receives and receives and gets more and more and more and just and then evaporates and becomes very salty and nothing lives in it because it's just a receiver, not a giver. So which body of water best represents the way your life is oriented? Sea of Galilee, you receive, but you also give generously. Just life. Does life flow through you, or does it stop in you? You won't be on the right path. Why generous living? Winston Churchill, from World War II, he said this, we make a life by what we get, we make a living by what we give. We make a life by what we get, we make a living by what we give. So you're more like what? Dead Sea? Sea of Galilee. I choose Sea of Galilee. How about you? Teeming with life and all? Okay, so what? What's all this about? Why this topic and why it's so important to this very issue here? So I'm going to ask you to help me with this. I've got my iPad and we're going to do this. Stingy people generous people. I want to ask you to take 3 minutes, do this really fast, form small groups, 3, 4, 5 small groups, you can figure it out. Circle around, say hello, look at the eyeballs of the person next to you. If you don't know their name, ask their name, get their name, and look at the color of their eyes. Okay, just make sure you get familiar with each other. And then come up with your own list. What are the characteristics of a person that's stingy? And what are characteristics of a person that's generous? Got it? So, in the next 3 minutes, you're going to talk about characteristics of a stingy person, characteristics of a generous person. On your mark, get set, go. One more minute. Uno más. Fun. Fun. Okay, 15 seconds. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, too fast. 1, okay. Sorry, yeah, my seconds are a lot faster. Where I grew up, they're a lot faster. Okay. Stingy people. I'm not calling you stingy people. I just, no. I'm talking about these. Okay. Hey, generous people. Generous people, stingy people. I bet you we can think of faces on both sides of this chart. Nobody in this room on the stingy side, but what would be some characteristics of a person who is a stingy person? Self-centered. Thank you. And shout them out. Sorry. Proud.
They don't give.
Yeah, there we go. Say again. Unfaithful. You use the word miser? Miserly. Huh? Tight. That's tight. Oh, not that kind of tight, huh? Motivated by what they get in return. Oh, really good. Ungrateful. Motivated by get what they get in return. There you go. Huh? Cynical. C-Y-N-C-I-A-L, right? Cynical. What is it? Financial bondage. Yes. Bond in bondage. And they don't even know it. Huh? Envious. Man, you guys know a lot of these people, don't you? We know who we are. We know, yeah, it's a very easy list to do, isn't it? That's the problem. That's the scary thing, is we know this one really well, don't we? Okay, we'll leave it at that one. Very good. That's an excellent one. Discontent. Let's hold on to that. Can I ask you this question? which tent do you live in? Discontent? That's bad English. Discontent? Okay, forget it. We do know this very well, don't we? And this is the wrong path. If you want to take hold of life and life indeed, Jesus' way is generosity. Giving of yourself, considering other more important than yourself, Philippians 2. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind. Regard one another as more important than yourself. Have this attitude in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests. Sure, you're going to do that, but don't just do that, but also be on the lookout for one another's interests. That's the way of Christ. Okay, let's talk about characteristics of a generous person. Caring. Excellent. Empathetic. Empathize. Spiritual. What do you mean by that? Who said that? Yeah, what do you mean by that? I think it's good, but ooh, nice. Yeah, we'll claim him. Sweet. That's good. Here, you do this. Would you come on in? It's good. Selfless. Not, yeah. Self, was. Huh? Altruistic. For those, you and I know that word. Nobody else knows what the word means. Yep. Yeah, exactly. The opposite of one of those. Here, right here. Just giving and not expecting anything in return. Jesus said that. Give and don't expect anything in return. Altruistic. It's true, pure motives. And not trying to, yeah. How about this side over here? What?
Humble.
That's excellent. It takes humility. Humble. Obedient. Compassionate. This is getting too weak down here. Right.
Wise.
Wise. That is wise. It takes wisdom. Actually, it does take wisdom to figure out how to be generous, but it's the wisest thing to do. Very good. There's a good list here, too. All right? So you've got a stingy side and a generous side. Why is this important? Well, if we orient our life around the stingy side, are you going to get where you want to go in life? No, you're going to be in utter ruin. Why is this important? Because if you orient your life around this word, generous, you can accomplish whatever God wants to accomplish in your life, and you will take hold of life indeed, choosing that path. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Did I already have you do it at 1 Timothy 6? Not yet. We're going to go there. But go to Philippians chapter 1 with me, please. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. And take a look at how we can help us become more and more generous. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and through 11. And then we're going to go to 1 Timothy 6. All right? Paul pray. This is a prayer, and I would encourage you to make this a part of your prayer, the way that you reorient your being, to reorient yourself according to God's GPS, to reorient your thinking. It's between you and God. It's a matter of the heart. It's about your heart. It's about your orientation. And so I would suggest that you take this as a model, and as you're face-to-face with God, and you're spending time alone in your prayer closet, or you're out walking and talking and walking with Christ, ask him to help you with these three arenas to make you a generous person. Paul prays, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may be able to discern the very best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This is a reorientation of our life. And there's three very important critical areas to reorient your life around. The first is the arena of love. I'm going to draw it like this. Try and draw it like this. Asking God to help you have a loving spirit, a loving heart, a loving mind between you and God and between one another, and that you are oriented around the love of God and loving one another, making that your orientation. That's your magnetic, this is going to be your magnetic north, your true north, okay? Love, but you're going to need more than love. Because love, if it's just love, it's kind of like what you and I are. We're just like you take the cap off a fire hydrant, and what will happen? Water just gushes out and flows. And that's the way a lot of us are. We just want to love. We just love everybody, but without discernment, without aim, without focus, without knowledge. And so Paul says, I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge, knowing what the circumstance of the situation truly, really is, to understand what you're facing, where you're going, who you're with, and what true knowledge is. And you're going to need to pray, and you're going to ask God to give you insight into the situation that you're in. With an orientation of love and an orientation of real knowledge of the situation, and then within this, discernment, wisdom. Anthony, you mentioned wise, being wise, part of wisdom, being able to figure out okay, what do I do in this circumstance? What do I do in this situation? Abounding in love, abounding in knowledge, and abounding in discernment, you have now a sweet spot. That's true north. To orient your life around love, knowledge, and discernment that will help you have an approach to your life that you will now be able to approve, not just good things in your life, but Paul says here that you may approve the very best. And also safeguarding yourself as a generous person. If somebody finds out you're a generous person with your pocketbook, with your time, with your talents and so forth, guess what could happen? You can be taken advantage of very easily. Yeah? This will help you not become taken advantage of and also reorient your life around generous living. Approaching life through love, a lens of love, knowledge, and discernment. It's kind of like putting a fire hose on that fire hydrant. Now you're able to channel it, and then you get a fireman is able to aim it. Love, knowledge, and discernment. And now you're able to take all this overflowing water, focus it, and aim it to and meet a particular need, and allow that just to flow right through you. Generous living. Why is it important? Because generous living will help you accomplish taking hold of life indeed. Love. So here are three questions to ask yourself and to be praying about. Question number one regarding this Philippians chapter 1 passage. What in this right now, what is the loving thing for me to do? What is the most loving thing for me to do? And make that a prayer question. Three prayer questions before God. Lord, what's the most loving thing? And asking the Lord to help you discern his heart and his voice in this situation. How can you experience generous living right where you are, in your circumstance, in home, at class, at work? And then prayer question number two is, what is the real situation here? Don't just look at it superficially, but what is really going on in this person's life? How can I come alongside and really meet a need here? I need to discover the real situation. Maybe you already know it, but maybe you need to be praying and asking God to break through some areas of information or understanding of what's taking place. And then the last question is, what part, and this is the discernment piece, what part do you want me to have to play here? Is it a large part? Is it a small part? Is it no part? What part? Three prayer questions around Philippians 1, 9, 10, and 11. And I would just encourage you, this is a GPS guidance from God, generous living, so that we move from stingy to generous. Love, orient your life around that. Orient your life around knowledge, and orient your life around discernment. And you'll get those three as you interact prayerfully with God, so that you may approve the very best thing to do. Now, I'd like to wrap this up with take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. This was my springboard verse, and I forgot to mention it right off the bat, but I can't see very well. And for some reason, my eyes have not been working really clearly today, and I can't see very, but I have an idea where I am. 1 Timothy chapter 6, I think it's verse 7. Thank you. Oh, that's a little better. Oh, maybe it was just kind of dark in here. Okay. Hey, be generous with that light, bro. All right. I want to read this statement, verse 17. Command those who are rich. Now, this is talking about rich Christians, wealthy Christians. So we're going to take the applications, not just money, but just the way we orient our life around generous living, right? That's what we're talking about, is just orienting our whole life around generous living. But this is the context of being a wealthy Christian. And by the way, we who live in the United States are probably the most wealthy people than most of the majority of the world as it is. So we would all fit in this kind of a category here. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth. One of the stingy qualities was pride, not to be arrogant. And not to put their hope in wealth, which is uncertain, but to put their hope in God. Boy, that's really true for our times today. Okay, you know it. Who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good. All right, so Paul tells Timothy, he says, Timothy, command the Christians in your church to do good. So I'm going to take this from Paul. This is a letter from, this is called First Brown, from Paul to me. And I'm sharing it with you. I want you to do good. It's a command to do good. And then he says, not only to do good, but to be rich in good works. Not just rich in money, but to be rich in good works. To be rich in good works. And willing to be generous and willing to share. Not like the Dead Sea, but like the Sea of Galilee. In this way, you will lay up treasure for yourself as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life, life indeed. This is the way of taking hold of life and life indeed. You got it? So the command is to do good, to be rich, and to be generous and willing to share. I'm going to come back to that in just one moment. This chapter starts a little earlier, and in verse 7, this is something that he says here. I'm going to go back up to, I believe, verse 7. For we brought, verse 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Somebody used the word content or discontent, and that is really the bottom line. It starts with, if you want a fulfilled life, you want to take hold of life indeed, you've got to start with this kind of attitude. Orient your life around the things that you have and be thankful for that and be content. Be content and live in that tent. Don't live in the discontent tent. It was about 1978, 1979. I was just a wee little boy. No. I was a carpenter at the time, and I came home. Nobody was home. I had a wife and had a daughter, and I was the only one in the house, and I was really bummed. I was really discouraged. I was filthy. I was exhausted. I was worn out, and I was just really discouraged that I had nothing in my life except, well, I had a wife and a child, which I was really thankful for, but I was really not thinking about it. I was just really selfish, and I was just thinking about me, and I go into the shower, and buck naked, I thought, look at all that I have. The verse says, you came in this world dug with nothing. And I was standing in the shower with nothing. That was the scene. Okay, good. Now let's move on. So I'm thinking, I came in this world. This was the verse I was thinking of. I came in this world with nothing, and I'm going to leave this world with nothing. And then I started thinking about all the things that I had. I had a house that we were renting. I had a wife, I had a child, I had a house, I had a refrigerator, I had a stove, I had a bed, I had furniture in every single room, I had a living room, I had a dining room, I had a kitchen, I had a basement, I had tools, I had a car, and by the time I came out of the shower, I was running down the hallway. Well, that was not a pretty picture either. So full of joy. And I was just so grateful and thankful for all that I had. And I was thinking how little I had, walking into the bathroom, taking a shower, the first thing, thinking how horrible and how discouraged I am. And I came out a changed man. Why? Because my whole orientation changed in that 20, 30, 40 minute shower. Yeah, baby, it was a great shower. It was a good shower head too, let me tell you that. So start with contentment. I would encourage you to, you don't have to act that out the way I just described it, but serious. But what you ought to do is you ought to consider how you came in this world with nothing, and you're going to leave this world with nothing physically. You're not going to send, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. And just think of all the things that you have, and then start worshiping and praising God, your health and everything else. And then he says, flee from these things. Watch out, every single one of us, watch out for greed. Watch out for greed. It will utterly ruin your life. It will be a poison. The love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. Money is not the problem here. What is the problem? The love of money. Love, that's a stingy person. That's Scrooge. That is not the way of Christ. The love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and it will plunge you into utter ruin. And I wonder if you can think of people face by face on that side of the chart that are living that path. And then he tells us to flee that and then to follow the good stuff, righteousness, faith, love, hope. He says this in this chapter, to pursue this, to fight the good fight. It's a daily battle to fight these things. And then he tells us in this chapter to keep our eyes on the sovereign God and to fear him. To live your life, listen to this, to actually orient your life coram Deo. Now that's a little fancy Latin, which I don't know any Latin except these two words. And the reason why I like it is because this phrase helps me remember what it says. Coram Deo means before the face of God. To live your life, to orient your life before the face of God. Not just something, some vague idea of what God is out there, but actually you're living your life before the face of God. In other words, he's near, he's there, he's with you, and you're living life together before the face of God. He's on the generous path. Follow him in love, knowledge, and discernment. Follow him. And then the author of Paul says, focus on being rich in good works, doing good, and be generous, willing, and being ready to share. That's the frame of mind, the frame of reference. Focus on that, and then he tells us, then in doing so, you are laying up treasure in heaven for the coming age. In other words, what you're doing now is you're not holding on to stuff. Mine. But you're saying, I am going to live my life with an open hand before God and allow God to use me and all that I have in my life to be a blessing to God and to one another. That's generosity. It's an orientation of the heart to hand it over to God in faith. God will take that, bless that, and use that. 1 Timothy chapter 6. What is generous living? It's an attitude and orientation of the heart. Dead Sea, Sea of Galilee, which sea? Would you like to be? Which sea are you? You want to take hold of life? Life indeed? Start with becoming content with who you are and what you have in Christ. That's another subject. It's really deep. It's life-changing. And then get to a point where you are able to get before the face of God and with an open-hand policy saying, Lord, instead of this, it's this. I open my hand and I share my life as an offering to you and use it as a blessing to one another. Would you join me in a symbolic act of actually doing that even right now? As you're sitting there, please just place your hands on your lap in a closed fist position. And think about you're holding on to your life. And think of these words. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. You're holding on to your life, trying to hold on so that you don't lose. That's the wrong way to live. Jesus said, lose your life for my sake, and you will find or gain life. So slowly open your hands. Lord, here's my life. Everything that I am, all that I have. Everything that I am and all that I have is now open to you. And by faith, I am handing it to you. By faith, I am going to hand it over to you. All the things of my life, the things that I'm clutching, I'm living for, I want, I desire, I am going to trust you in providing all those things in my life. I came into this world absolutely with nothing. I'm going to leave this world and I won't be able to take any of this stuff with me. And I just want to thank you right now for all the things that I do have in my life. Everything. My relationships, my friendships, my health. My home. My stuff. You've given it to me as a gift, and I give it back to you. And now, with your hands wide open, I invite you to raise your arms up. Heavenly Father, we want to be a people that are oriented around you. You, Lord Jesus, take my life and let it be wholly consecrated, Lord, to thee. All that I am and all that I have, I offer to you as a living sacrifice on your altar. I follow you and your ways. Speak to me and lead me in your generous way, and then use me to become a blessing to one another and other people, that I might take hold of life indeed by letting go of life indeed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.